What's up, everyone? Happy Tuesday. It's Denise Salcedo, and it is March 26th. We are here to talk about WWE NXT, and this is going to be a pretty newsworthy podcast, I would say, because there was a lot of things that we're going to be talking about today. This was a really solid show of NXT, and on top of that, next week is the final NXT before Stand and Deliver, so we have quite a bit to get to. It's WrestleMania season, so all of the shows, Raw, SmackDown, NXT included, have all really been feeling like there's a lot of buzz surrounding them, and we've been having a pretty good time. So we're going to go ahead and dive right into the show. Before I do, just a friendly reminder, if you are here, if you want to get your questions, your comments, your statements, your opinion read here on the stream, you are more than welcome to send in a super chat. A super chat not only gets all of those things for you, but also helps me out tremendously, and I want to start off by thanking Sheldon Jackson for gifting 5 DWO memberships. As always, having our back here on the channel is Sheldon Jackson. So thank you so much. Shout out to Sheldon. All right, guys, there's going to be quite a bit. Like, I haven't even decided where I want to start off with this podcast episode, because there's honestly a lot to break down here today. But I'm going to start things off with the Carmelo Hayes Trick Williams, a video that we saw here today. And the big thing that you should already know off the bat from this episode is that we got a lot of really good little video packages. Now, they're always really good on all brands, and NXT does a really great job of doing that. They tend to go and try to find creative ways for these video packages, but I feel like today specifically, they did even better than what they normally do, because not only did we have this video package here for Carmelo Hayes and Trick Williams, but we also had the one for Roxanne Perez, Lyra Valkyra, Sol Ruka. I'm probably forgetting some of the other ones that we had, but they did a lot today with the video packages. And these ones that they did, they were calling them prime target videos, and these were freaking cool. So for Carmelo Hayes and Trick Williams, we ended up getting, I think it was like three videos or something, or two or three videos, I forget. And basically what we saw in this was them running down the whole entire story about their friendship. And in these videos, we not only saw Carmelo Hayes and Trick Williams talk about things and stuff, we also had Booker T, Randy Orton, CM Punk talk about the story. And so it really made it feel like a big deal, because when you got somebody like CM Punk and Randy Orton coming out there and talking about a story on NXT, it really sells the point that it's a big freaking deal. And I thought they did a phenomenal job. I mean, they broke it down in terms of really humanizing this story. And I think that was the big thing that I really liked, was how they humanized it. Because even though we're out here sitting and saying Carmelo Hayes is a heel and Trick Williams is a babyface, I like that in this video package, they explained how even though they like fell apart, they're no longer brothers and they're going up against each other at WrestleMania, it was like both of these guys didn't actually intend for this to happen. It just happened. It happened because Carmelo Hayes was thriving and Trick Williams wanted some of that same attention, some of those same accolades that Carmelo Hayes has. And then on top of that, it was natural for Carmelo Hayes to also, you know, feel a little bit of jealousy from that. So I thought they did a really good job of, like, even though one guy's a bad guy, one guy's a good guy, sometimes it could be the lines get a little blurred. And so I really liked what they did here with this whole entire story. I loved how they talked about how much more it hurts when you have somebody that you care about, somebody you see like a brother, basically stab you in the back. And I just gotta say, I thought CM Punk did freaking phenomenal with this story. I mean, they kind of made it feel a little bit like a documentary when you have people coming out and talking about like these really serious topics. That's sort of the emotion that I felt when I was watching these prime target videos. So honestly, kudos to the NXT production team for those video packages, because they freaking killed killed it with those videos. Oh, and there was even a really good line that CM Punk had in this where he said that Carmelo Hayes should actually be a little afraid of Trick Williams. And we even see Trick Williams doing like the whole like Philadelphia Rocky thing. I thought that was pretty cool. This was honestly a very, very fine job by all of these. Very good stuff. All right, let's keep it going, guys. So I want to get into Roxanne Perez and Lyra Valkyra next up here, because since we're on the topic of video packages, this was another one that really just hit home very, very nicely. And the reason why it did was because we've all sat here and have seen the growth and the changes in Roxanne Perez. We have seen Roxanne go from, I work so hard, I dream so hard, I really wanted to be a WWE superstar. We've all seen the pictures of her meeting wrestlers and crying and fangirling and how this was her dream and all, like, you know, all of that. We've seen it. And for so many of us, it was almost impossible to see Roxanne Perez as a heel because, like I said, she goes out there and she's got the big hopeful eyes and she connects with all of us because she was a fan that became a pro wrestler. And so for us to see her go from that to the heel that she is now, and for us to actually be buying it. And honestly, she's one of my favorite heels on NXT, if not my favorite heel on NXT. I think it's like literally her, Carmelo Hayes, who I really enjoy as heels. I would probably say actually that, you know what? Roxanne Perez may actually be my favorite heel. Now that I think about it, I was sitting here going, is there another heel on NXT that I like more than Roxanne Perez? And I'm not thinking of anybody right now. So since I'm not thinking about anybody right now, I'm giving the win to Roxanne Perez. And so for her to really go from one extreme to another has been phenomenal. But in this video that she did today, this was awesome. Because this tied into her past. So not only was she watching her old videos and reacting to her old self, and she was making fun of herself for being so pathetic and so gullible because she was talking about her heroes. And she said, all of my heroes, like, they didn't do anything for me. They disappointed me. And so she's talking about how now she's her own hero and she's out there and she's breaking the rules, and that's how she ended up getting her match. So this method of hers is working. But what I liked in particular was that in one of Roxanne's earlier videos from like earlier, like when she first started with NXT, they had shown this video of her showing her little scrapbooks, her little vision boards, and they even showed it here again. And the best part of this was that Roxanne Perez took those pictures and started cutting them up. This was great. This was the most relatable thing. Even though she's a heel, this was super relatable, guys, because honestly, how many of you here, raise your hand in the chat, man. I need to see some chat comments in this with this one. I don't want to be alone on this one. How many of you have like torn up pictures because you were angry, you were upset, maybe you got dumped, maybe you broke up with someone, maybe you stopped being friends with somebody, maybe someone stabbed you in the back, maybe someone broke your heart? All of those things have happened to me. I have been through all of that in my life, and I have tore up the pictures. I regretted it afterwards, which I'm sure most of us do, but we've all been there where we're like, we cut pictures up, we tore them up, and we never wanted to see them again. I'm guilty of that. So seeing Roxanne Perez do that, I was like, yes. It was such a real, it was a good touch to her basically saying that the old Roxanne is dead. She's not that Roxanne anymore. And I also love that because most of you, I don't know how many of you guys know this, but you know, basically, kind of when you go out there and you say like, oh, like, and she did it a little differently, of course, but when you say like, oh, like the old version of me is dead, the first person that pops into my mind is Taylor Swift from Look What You Made Me Do, because she talks about how the old Taylor can't come to the phone anymore because she's dead. And she went from this good girl that you know, this good girl in the public eye, or trying to at least be a good girl in the public eye and all of that, to all of a sudden being this bad girl and owning her reputation. And that is literally what we've been seeing from Roxanne Perez. So when Roxanne Perez said that Roxanne Perez was dead, immediately I thought of Taylor Swift and Reputation and just all of that. So that kind of hit a little extra hard for me and possibly the Swifties who are watching this, because I'm pretty sure if you were a Swiftie, you definitely thought this. So I loved what they did here. And then we ended up getting a promo afterwards from Lyra Valkyra. And this one was really good too, because she basically told Roxanne, like, you took the easy way out. And she tells Roxanne it's hard for her to look at herself in the mirror, that it's hard for Roxanne to look at herself in the mirror. And the part that I did like about this also humanized it. She said that in any other life, in any other aspect of things, that she and Roxanne could have actually been friends, because her and Roxanne shared the same dreams of becoming WWE superstars. So because of that, I don't know, I really liked that. But she told Roxanne that title broke her. And so she's basically saying that Roxanne Perez couldn't handle the pressures of being NXT Women's Champion. And I thought that was some really good stuff. So the storytelling here that we've been seeing with Roxanne and Lyra has been pretty damn good. In particular with Roxanne Perez, again, because we have been seeing this evolution of Roxanne. She's no longer the wide-eyed girl. She's now out here, you know, being a bad girl. So Yes Boy says Taylor Swift is basically life. I can tie anything and everything to Taylor Swift, honestly. But real talk, if you can give me any topic and I will find a way to connect it to Taylor. But real talk, this one here really did connect to that. All right, so and we did, by the way, we actually did get a Taylor Swift mention on today's show, and I was very happy to hear that. We'll talk about that later. Actually, I'll talk about it now. So they were doing these, what were they doing? This casting call. They were doing a casting call for the Stand and Deliver host. So they were having the NXT talent basically audition, and they were in the lobby, and and Hank and Tank, who you guys know, I love Hank and Tank. So now I love them even more, because they were sitting in the lobby trying to be like, they were basically like nervous to audition, and they were like, oh, did you rehearse the song or something that we're gonna, the Taylor Swift song that we're gonna do? And he's like, yeah, Anti-Hero, I did it. And then they were like, no, it's not Anti-Hero. You're supposed to be doing Cruel Summer. Anyways, that really did happen on NXT. If you missed NXT, I'm not making this up. This really did happen. So anyways, shout out to Hank and Tank. I don't care if they sing Anti-Hero or Cruel Summer, whatever it is that they sing, I wanna hear it now. Will Chisholm says, I love how they had Randy and CM Punk and others in this video. Felt mega big time. Dude, that's exactly what I'm saying. It felt real, real big time. And here's the thing, like, for those that religiously watch NXT on a weekly basis, honestly, Trick Williams and Carmelo Hayes, the story is hitting. If you've been religiously watching the show, you are enjoying what they are doing. Now, keep in mind that for a lot of these NXT shows, especially for the pay-per-views, there's a lot of people that don't actually watch the weekly programming, but they watch the PLEs. But it's stuff like this, though, that sells the story to those people that tuned into the PLE only, that may not be completely caught up with the weekly storytelling of this. So I thought they did a really good job to kind of get the word out to the entire WWE universe. And that was good. Heel Hammer's in the house, and he says, I'm back from hiatus. What did I miss? What the hell is Roxanne is a heel? Let's go. Heel Hammer, speaking of, you literally came in at the exact perfect moment when I just said that there's people that don't religiously watch NXT. Thank you, Heel Hammer, out here proving my point. But they did a phenomenal job with all of these stories. And basically, if you're not watching on a weekly basis, you can watch these little videos and they will tell you all of that. But yes, Roxanne Perez is a heel now. It was sort of a slow progression, but it was obvious. The signs were there, and she is fully erupted into her bad girl persona. Thanks so much, Heel Hammer, for coming back. We got Steven Marchuli here who says, when Cora comes back, a team of Roxanne Perez and Cora Jade could be money. Honestly, like part of me doesn't want to see that. And the only reason I say this is because when Cora Jade came back the last time before she got hurt, I was very excited to see Cora Jade kind of take off, pick up where she left off. And I want to see her like do her thing in the singles realm like she had been before, because she had just started before. So she never really got to take that as far as she possibly could. So we still don't know what Cora Jade could do on the single side of things and how far she can really take things on NXT. So for me, like, I kind of want to see that play out. And I do feel bad for Cora Jade because she's missed so much time, and I'm sure it's frustrating for her. I can't imagine, like, God, like, for example, in September when I went on vacation and I didn't do my podcast for like a week. Now that's just podcasting. And I was gone for like a week, oh, 2 weeks, I think. And I felt like, oh my God, I felt horrible. I felt horrible about not being able to do my shows, not being able to do my work. And now I can't imagine having to be out 9 months or however long because you're out due to injury. And that's way more frustrating. I was on vacation. She's injured. Like, come on. Two totally different things. But when you're gone from work and when you're gone from something that you are actively pursuing, a dream that you have, it is very hard to be away from that. And we all say it and we all know it, out of sight, out of mind. And nobody wants that. Nobody wants to be out of mind at all. So anyways, when Cora Jade comes back, I really want them to go full throttle with Cora Jade and just have her like, bam, like get right into things. But as all things goes, here's the positive thing. Time flies by. This is the only time where it's actually a good thing. When someone's out due to injury, time flies by, and next thing you know, they will be back. We got Jay Stone here who says, love the Trick Mello packages, but it made me realize Ilya doesn't feel as big time as he did prior to winning the title. He's still third wheel to them. Oh, man. Well, look, honestly, I'm not going to sit here and lie to you, but I feel the exact same way. I was actually thinking that during the match that we saw between Ilya Dragunov and Channing Stacks Lorenzo, I was actually surprised by how this match played out. Because like you said, or even last week, we were all sitting here saying, oh man, rip to Channing Stacks Lorenzo. Ilya Dragunov is gonna murder him, right? Like, we were all thinking he was gonna finish this man. And that was not the match that we got. As a matter of fact, Stacks actually got a lot in on Ilya Dragunov, and he got a lot in. Eventually, Ilya Dragunov wins. He hit him with the suplex and then the Torpedo Moscow, and he wins the match. But this, to me, did not feel like the same presentation of Ilya Dragunov before he won the NXT Championship, because I think, had we seen, and I don't know, maybe we got this match before. I don't remember it. I don't think we did. But let's just say this match right now, before, it would have been Ilya Dragunov just ripping this man, like going in there and just effing him up. Like, let's be real. That's what we would have gotten. And that wasn't exactly what we got here. And I do think that the Ilya Dragunov storyline since he became NXT champion has not done him much service. In fact, I kind of feel like it's done him a little bit of a disservice. And I say this because, okay, we all love Ilya Dragunov because why? When you think about why you love Ilya Dragunov, what are those reasons? Those reasons are, he has this killer freaking intensity. He's a madman. He's a great wrestler, but he goes in there and he's dominant. He is a dominant competitor. Competitor. I had to emphasize that. Competitor. And he proved himself over and over that he should be NXT champion. So then, okay, great. He has these really great wars with Carmelo Hayes, eventually wins the NXT championship. Great. Now let's see this man like wreak havoc, right? Continue what we've been seeing of him before he won the championship, right? And instead, we got that really weird story with him and Ridge Holland, which we'll talk about Ridge Holland in a bit. But the whole, you know, he injures him, and then Trick Williams' match is pulled for a different day. And it just became, from that moment on, Ilya Dragunov was no longer the focus here. He was no longer the focus. He was NXT champion, but NXT champion that had to take a back seat to the Trick Williams Carmelo Hayes storyline, right? I would have liked it if it was more of a thing where he didn't have to take a back seat, where like he could still have played a part in this storyline like he did, but I would have liked it if they still kept him strong as a champion, right? To keep staying that dominant man that we know. And then on top of that, after that, it kind of just felt like, God, we didn't see him for a bit. Then he came back, and it was just back into the Carmelo Hayes, Trick Williams thing. And then eventually he finally gets involved with Tony D'Angelo. Tony D'Angelo defeats Carmelo Hayes and earns himself this match against Ilya Dragunov at Stand and Deliver. And things only really got personal and heated between them like 2 weeks ago when he kidnapped him. And so now that's where we're at with this. But in terms of, is Ilya Dragunov as hot as he was before winning the championship? I'm going to say no. I do think that he had a lot more momentum before winning the championship. I was expecting a stronger reign for Ilya Dragunov, something that really matched the presentation of the Mad Dragon. And I don't think that's what we have been seeing. But I am expecting him to retain the championship, possibly at Stand and Deliver. As of right now, I'm expecting him to retain. And who knows where we go from here, honestly. But yeah, that's how I feel in regards to that. Malik Blade says, just saw the main event. Braun was made in a lab. Dude, that main event was sick, and we will talk about it in a second. Thank you so much, Malik Black, for sending in that super chat. And we got people up here saying, like, you know, Dragunov needs to go up to Monday Night Raw or to the main roster. And honestly, like, and then Golden One says, you can't look strong forever at all times. And I get that, but like, he's the champion. The NXT champion. If he was just anybody, I'd be like, oh, you know, you're right. But he's the NXT champion. It's supposed to be different. It's supposed to hit harder, you know? I see champions, and I feel that champions, my favorite champions, the best champions are the dominant champions. They're the champions that make you feel like, my God, no one could ever beat this man or woman. And so whenever they do get beat, it's like this holy shit moment. This person really did it. Like, that's the kind of reaction I like to have to champions. And so anyways, let's see what I wanted to say after this. In regards to him going to the main roster, I feel like he needed to go to the main roster as of yesterday, honestly. But who knows? Who knows what will happen there? All right, let's keep moving on here. And I want to get into Sean Spears versus Dijak. And this one, honestly, like, this was the opening match of the night. This was a pretty fun match. People were really interested in it. I thought the big thing, and there's really only two things that I want to say about this. And the two things that, or maybe one thing that I want to say. Actually, it's a one thing. The one thing I want to say about this is that I really thought Dijak looked very impressive in this match. I thought he looked more impressive in this match than Sean Spears. So that was really my big takeaway from this match. I just thought he looked good, man. Everything he did looked impactful, and it made me keep looking. So it kept my attention. And I thought that Dijak winning was definitely the right call just based off of the performance that we saw. So that was it with Sean Spears and Dijak. So before we get into more of the women's and all of that, I want to finish off the men's stuff. And I want to get into the Ridge Holland topic. So let's go. Let's get into that Ridge Holland topic. Now, this one's a little bit tough because I'm not really sure what is happening here. All right. I'm not really sure what is going on. Hopefully by tomorrow morning, we'll have some clearer answers. But let me tell you what happened and what I thought was going to happen and what I think now. So Ridge Holland comes out and he cuts this emotional promo about how he has been having these serious conversations with himself and with the powers that be. And he says that he feels like he's been a step off and that he can't in good conscience hurt himself or anybody else again. Says he's tired of taking his work home with him because he's constantly like, he talked about some of the comments that he gets and a lot of the negativity surrounding Ridge Holland and all of that, right? And he starts talking about his mental health, and he says that he doesn't have the mental resilience that he needs to be in this business, right? And he says that he's made a decision and that he's made a decision for his mental health. And that decision is that he is stepping away from in-ring competition indefinitely. And he thanks everybody and he walks away. So that's what went down. During this whole promo, I kept waiting for something to happen. The entire time I was like, I was thinking of Mark Henry. Then I know a lot of people were thinking about Mark Henry because Mark Henry had his whole, you know, his whole promo where he swerved everybody. And I was thinking that that's what they were trying to do, or that somebody was going to come out and basically be like, Rich Holland, you're being a coward, you're trying to take the easy way out, or I don't know, something. Like, I was expecting for someone to call him out and basically say, like, nah, bro, you're crazy, you're not leaving, and whatever, right? So the whole time, I was sitting there waiting, and nothing happened. He walked out. And so I'm going, huh? So, are they working us, or are they not working us? I don't know. When this whole promo thing started, I was like, oh, he's going to say that he's done with in-ring wrestling and that's it, right? But I was taking it as like, oh, this is a storyline. Like, I wasn't taking this as anything legitimate. But for some reason, when nothing happened afterwards and he just walked out, I was like, huh, maybe he is done with pro wrestling in terms of being in the ring. And so I was kind of left there not really sure of what opinion to take, because I wasn't really sure whether or not this was legit or not. And that's my honest, thing. I don't know. Like, I'm split. I'm not split. I'm going to say I'm 70-30. 70% of me feels like this is a work, and then 30% of me feels like, nah, this actually may be legit. And the only reason why, the only reason why I feel like this is a work is because I actually don't think that if this was legit, I don't think he would actually come out and tell us all of this. I think it would just be a thing of like, all of a sudden we see it on the news or something, Rich Holland's no longer with WWE, right? That's what I would expect. Now, if this was like and so that's why I'm thinking that it's not legit, right? But then the other part of me is thinking that it may actually be legit, and the only reason I think that is because it is true. He does get a lot of heat online, and we all know that unfortunately he was the one that was responsible for injuring Big E, and people do not let him forget that, and he gets a lot of hate for that. And then they did that whole angle. And this is also part of me why I think it's a work too, because they did the whole angle with him where he hurts Ilya Dragunov. And then he's been doing all of these like very emotional backstage interviews with Sarah Schreiber. So that's why part of me does think this is a work. And so I don't want to believe that this is legit until there's actual news that says that this is legit. So I'm sorry, I don't have any concrete answers here, but that's kind of been like my take on the Ridge Holland thing as of right now, until we get some until we get some more stuff that come up. We got a lot of people here that let's see what people are saying. Larice Johnson says, I don't believe it. John Dollar says, it's a work. You're supposed to hurt people in the ring. Well, I mean, like, you're supposed to hurt them in a way that is safe, right? Not like take them out and injure them forever, right? But I do think that I don't know. It's a little bit of a complicated story. And let's see what else we got here. I think for the most part, people are sort of thinking along the same lines of they're not really too sure, but there's a lot of people that just think that this is a we got Juan Ortega here who says, HBK, hey Ridge, do you remember when I lost my smile? Guess what? You are losing your smile tonight on NXT. Oh, good one, Juan. There you go. So I guess we'll have to wait and see whether or not this really is legit or not. But as of right now, I'm 70-30 and 70 of it for thinking that it's a work. All right, let's press on because we got so much more to get into here. We got Pierre says, I'm also thinking work. They could bring back Sheamus. That way, who talks sense into Ridge? And then he'll turn on Ridge. Who knows, man? I don't know. Chris P says, respectfully, his prestige doesn't warrant an on-screen announcement unless it's a work. That's what I'm saying. Like, I don't feel like he would announce it if it was legit, right? Like, if he was legit, I don't think he would go out there and say that his mental health essentially couldn't handle all of the negativity. That's why I also think it's a work, because if that was legit, I don't think he would come out and say it. So I that's kind of how I read that whole thing. But anyways, okay, so we got so much more to get into here. And the other topic that I want to dive into, let's get into some of the women's stuff. So we had Thea Hale versus Jasmine Nix. This was fun, guys. This was very fun. You guys know that I've been digging the storyline with Thea Hale and JC Jane. JC Jane, for those of you who don't know, basically betrayed Thea Hale. Thea Hale thought they had a real friendship. And it turns out that JC Jane was just not a real friend. And so now Jasmine Nix, who is friends with JC Jane, at least as of right now, goes in and has this match with Thea Hale. And this was fun. By the way, I love the submission that Jasmine Nix had on Thea Hale, like literally just like putting her arms back her, using her legs to trap her. That was really fun. But what was happening was on the outside, we had JC Jane and Andre Chase sort of going at it, like arguing. And JC Jane takes his towel. Now, keep in mind, the referee is not looking. So JC throws in the towel. But out of nowhere, Riley Osborne had like really great timing because he runs in there and he catches the towel before it can actually hit the mat. And so the referee doesn't see that JC Jane had her hand in all of this. And so he kicks out Chase U. And so they get kicked out unfairly, even though they weren't the ones who did anything. And so Thea Hale gets into the face of JC Jane and very emotionally, every time Thea Hale gets emotional, damn, I buy that. I really, really do. She gets in her face and she's like, I thought we were friends. And JC's like, we were never friends. And then she slaps her across the face. And I thought, damn, that's messed up, man. And Thea Hale almost seems like she was going to lose this match because that distraction seemed like Jasmine Nix was going to get the upper hand. But Thea Hale manages to surprise everybody and she still wins this match. And afterwards was very fun because all of JC Jane's friends come out and start beating up on Thea Hale. But Thea Hale's friends come out, Kalani Jordan and Fallon Henley, and they all start going at it. So then at the end of it, you see 3-on-3. This was very, very fun. I love the way that this whole story has been playing out, emotionally entertaining. It's gotten us on all aspects, I think. So anyways, we're probably going to see a 3-on-3 possibly next week. I don't think they announced anything for next week on that regard, unless I missed it. Sorry, but I don't think so. But I'm assuming that's going to happen at some point and then Stand and Deliver Thea Hale, JC Jane. I don't think they've announced that either, have they? I don't know. But anyways, that's what I'm expecting for them to do. But I don't think they've actually made that match official yet. But anyways, we got some super chats here to get into. David Kaplan says, hey, Denise, I love your new hairdo. Also, are you happy Thea is back to her old character? And do you think she can be a main roster star? Thanks. Thank you so much, David, by the way, for the nice compliment. And in terms of being happy about the old Thea being back, yes, because I like that she had a backbone and she didn't let JC Jane bully her for that long. And do I think she can be a main roster star? One of the things that has captivated me about Thea Hale from the very beginning is that she has a lot of personality. I think a lot of people sometimes are afraid to really let their personality come out. And even when you're given a character, sometimes you don't know how to like really like throw yourself into the character, right? Sometimes you may hold back a little bit. Sometimes you may fight your instincts on what you should be doing in regards to the character that you're portraying. And we never saw that with Thea Hale. I feel like Thea Hale knew what she had to do and knew what Thea Hale had to be on the show from the very beginning, because she was very, very, very like loud and energetic. And let's be real, that could probably get annoying really fast. And it didn't with Thea. Thea, at least I'm not annoyed of her. And I don't think I've seen people say they're annoyed of her. People like Thea Hale. Thea Hale has this lovable quality to her. And like, you can't hate Thea Hale. And so she goes out there and she demands a lot. She gets a lot of, there's a lot, she's giving a lot of energy and she's demanding a lot of energy back in return. And it's worked for her. So because of that, because of how fast she got that, and then she's pretty good in the ring. We still need to see bigger matches for her, of course, but from what we have seen so far, she's been good. And she's so freaking young. I forget how old she is. Actually, I know I searched this last time, but I forgot how old she was. Or is, excuse me, but she's super freaking young. She's 20 years old, guys. God damn. She is 20 years old. She knows how to show her personality. She is good in the ring. She's likable. I mean, what more can you possibly ask for? So I do think that she will thrive on the main roster when she gets her moment. We also got Tunde Yud here who says, NXT moving to CW, a good or a bad move? Low ratings, question mark. I think it's a good move. I really do think it's a good move. I'm excited to see what they do on the CW. I'm excited for all of the shuffling that we're going to be seeing. SmackDown to NBC, Raw to Netflix, NXT to the CW. And it's all kind of happening roughly around the same time, all within the end of the year. So it's going to be kind of confusing for a bit. Because you're going to be like, oh, which channel's this on? Which channel's that on? But I really do think it's going to be a good move. I do think so. I don't know what the ratings are going to look like, but I feel it's going to be a good move. And usually when you see these moves, you also see some like new things. So I think NXT will try to like, you know, spice things up and make things really interesting. So I think it'll be good. Thank you so much for asking. And I can't wait till we get to that period where we're talking about NXT on the CW. Christopher Marino says, why did JC Jane save Chase U if she hates them? Also, what Kiana James' motivation for anything? What's Kiana James' motivation for anything? All she does is jump people for no reason. So to answer your question about Kiana James, she's just a bad girl. She's been a heel this whole entire time. So to me, Kiana James is just really good at being a heel. And so they always put her in those situations. And the first question that you had about JC Jane saving Chase U, I was thinking the same thing when it happened. I was thinking like, damn, JC Jane went out of her way. She became this hero for like 3 weeks for Chase U, where she made the calendar and she saved the school. But then it was like suddenly she became a different person and they sped this up really fast. So I do feel like there was this little glitch in this story where it went from JC Jane being the savior to suddenly they were like, oh, you know what? We need to do this. We need to do this Thea Hale, JC Jane breakup. Let's get to it right away. And so you see this very quick turn in the story and in the storyline of JC Jane. So she really did go from saving and being the savior of Chase U 1 minute, and then the next minute, all of a sudden, she's this evil person. So they did kind of fast forward a lot with that particular storyline. But now it's definitely picked up and it's been pretty entertaining. But no, that's honestly a fair question, Christopher, because it did cross my mind as well. All right, so let's press on and let's get into a really fun part of today's show. And this was Lola Vice doing an open challenge. So Lola Vice did an open challenge and Natalya came out and accepted that challenge. And she said the reason why she accepted it was basically because she likes what Lola Vice is doing. She's growing very fast, but she doesn't like Lola Vice's attitude. She's getting a big head. She is, she's not humble. She's not humble whatsoever. And Natalya wants to humble her. I loved this match, guys. I loved this match so much. And it was simple. It was so freaking simple. But here's why I loved it. I loved it because the second that Natalya came out, Lola Vice had the fudge me. Like, this is the competitor I'm getting. God damn. Like, you can tell she was like, oh no, this is going to be tough. So the second that Natalia gets into the ring, Lola Vice like launches her entire body onto Natalia and she just like starts going at her. And they had this really great back and forth. But the thing that really got me is as we're watching this match, everything that Lola Vice did, she was at a 10. She was on full volume, full speed, everything that she did, her kicks, her back fist. Everything that Lola Vice did was with a lot of intensity. She really does bring the Latina heat. She really does bring the fire. And that's the thing that I most like about Lola Vice. She keeps me wanting to look at her. And I'm not saying that in a pervy way. I'm saying that in a dude. She's very entertaining when she does wrestle and maximizes the time that she has by making her moves feel very, very big. So she's got that down very, very well. And so for that reason, even though we saw Natalia defeat her, which she should because Natalia has way more experience, I loved this match. And I was a big fan of how they laid it all out and how it felt like a big deal. And we've seen Natalia on NXT before doing her thing. And I would like it if she came back and she continued a longer storyline here with Lola Vice. I think that would be pretty fun. But let's see what we got here. We got some more super chats. Thank you so much to everybody who's coming through. Seriously, I appreciate you guys. So let's see what people are saying. This is from Steven who says, crap baskets. I'm late on showing up, but I'm here. Steven, thank you so much. Better late than never. Tunde Yoon says, after Braun Breaker and Tiffany Stratton to the move to the main roster, who do you think will be the next on call? My money is on Melo, Ilya, and maybe Roxanne. Thoughts? I feel like you're right on the money with Carmelo Hayes because after this big storyline from Trick Williams, he's seen it, been there, done it. He's done it all there, and I feel like there really isn't that much. With Ilya, if Tony D'Angelo wins the NXT Championship, I am going to feel like Ilya is moving up. And then Roxanne, I don't think so because I do think that Roxanne is winning at Stand and Deliver. So for that reason, I don't think she's going up to the main roster. If she loses, then I definitely think she's going to the main roster. So that's kind of where I'm at on those names. And there really isn't anybody else that I think would be moving up right now. Tunde Yud, thank you so much for the super chat. Appreciate you, man. Coming through. All right, let's see what else we got here. And let's get into, we got really a few more things to get into. And the next one is really quick. It's Sol Ruca. It's a video package that she did. And, you know, she's out there being like absolutely flawless, guys. Like, I really, really love Sol Ruca's vibe. She's got the vibe that is just, I don't know, just nice. She's just got a nice vibe. She's got that California girl vibe down to the T. But like the, not like me, because hers is different. Hers is better. She does like the more, I think she's more traditional California girl where she surfs and goes to the beach and has glowing skin. All right. That's the California girl vibe. All right. That's the one that I aspire to have. And Sol Ruca has it. Anyway, so she goes out there. Oh, sorry. She did a vignette. And in this, she's talking about how we should not be fooled with her carefree beach personality because she's pissed off and she went through hell after what Blair did to her. And she wants to cause Blair Davenport pain and basically get her back for all of what she had to do, all of the pain that she had to endure during her rehab. So this was really good. Blair then cuts a promo and she basically just said that she's going to send her on another road of recovery. But I love this. There's not much else to say about that. The last thing that I need to talk about, oh, actually, there's two more things. Josh Briggs versus Duke Hudson. Josh Briggs wins with Lariat. Obafemi comes out, and there's going to be a new match that has been added to Stand and Deliver, and it is Obafemi versus Dijak versus Josh Briggs for the NXT North American Championship at Stand and Deliver. And I'm a little torn here because Obafemi, I want to see a little bit more of him as NXT North American Champion, but part of me is kind of thinking like it's Dijak's time. It really kind of feels like it's Dijak's time to get some gold and do something, you know? I feel like Dijak has been Dijak has been doing really good on NXT. And so I, even though I wanted to see Obafemi do a little bit more as champ, I don't know, man. I'm kind of rooting here for Dijak. That's where I'm at with this one. And last but not least, the last topic that we need to get to is Bron Breakker and Baron Corbin versus Alpha Academy. So basically the whole thing here was that if Alpha Academy won, then they would be added to this WrestleMania match. This was a very fun match. Unfortunately for Alpha Academy, they did not win. This was a very cool because we saw Bron and Baron put Otis through, they power bombed him into the commentary table. And it looked very, very cool because Otis is a big guy. He's a big guy. But so are Baron and Bron Breakker. And so they are able to put him through the table. That was very cool. And then inside the ring, Bron Breakker spears Akira Tozawa. And Tozawa's not a big guy. He's not a big guy. So when Bron Breakker speared him, I was like, my God, they killed Akira Tozawa. That's how massive it was. But anyways, Baron and Bron win this match. Alpha Academy are not going to WrestleMania, unfortunately, because I did want to see them in a WrestleMania match, but they're not going. So we're going to have Bron Breakker and Baron Corbin versus the Good Brothers versus the other team that still has to qualify. And we're seeing the last qualifying match next week. So we'll see what they do there, man. This is going to be... That's going to be fun. And like I said, I'm still expecting the Good Brothers to win. I think they're going to win the tag titles over at Mania. We also had a really funny backstage segment, by the way, with Bron Breakker and Baron Corbin, where Baron Corbin's making fun of him for being super tanned. And he tells him that sunning beds or tanning beds are not the sun. And then Bron Breakker brings him a little gift, and it's the tanning spray, and it's labeled the sun. Because we all know Bron Breakker is always very tan. So I like that they're kind of poking fun at that. We got Tuned at Ude here who says, finally, who's champ first, Tiffany or Bron Breakker? Let me think. I think it's going to be Bron Breakker, but I don't think it'll be the world championship. I think it'll be, I don't know, maybe the U.S. title. Maybe it'll be that. And I think it'll be a little bit longer for Tiffany. So, but I don't know, man. That's a really hard question. It could go honestly either way. But right now I'm going with Bron Breakker would probably be champ, world champ or a champ first before Tiffany. Thank you so much for that fun question, because honestly, that one was a really hard one to answer. It was a very hard one to answer because I really wasn't sure on that one. Alrighty, everybody. That is it. That is today's NXT post show. Before I go, I actually do have a brand new review from the Apple Podcast. I told you guys if you leave a podcast review that I would go ahead and read it here on the show. And finally, got a new one here. So I want to make sure to give a shout out here. Let me pull it up because I had to pull it up a lot earlier and I forgot to put it up here. But I want to give a shout out again, guys. If any of you have the time to go on either Apple Podcast or Spotify and leave a review on this podcast, it would really mean a whole lot to me. I want to thank Metal Chick for Like Sven here, who says that the podcast is a must listen, says Denise's shows are the only ones I look forward to downloading and watching when I'm home as soon as they come out. Great wrestling talk and review every week. Monday's been super fun with the Raw watch-alongs. Get my NXT reviews on Tuesday. She's actually got me watching NXT again. Then Wednesday's AEW reviews are always awesome with Reg. I have a good time with all of her shows and always appreciate the fun and laughter in between. Thank you. And I'm gonna keep listening and watching. All the best, Sven. Sven, thank you so much for the review, for the 5 freaking stars. And I hope when you listen to this podcast that you enjoy this one as well. So thank you so much for doing that, guys. Again, more reviews really helps more people find the show, more views, more sponsors, all of that. So if you can, please go leave a review anytime. The link is in the description box below. And if not, you can just search it on Apple Pods or Spotify. And last but not least, we got a super chat here from John Black. Thank you, John Black. He says, great show, Denise. Well, that's a really great way to end the show. So thank you so much, John. I appreciate your support. I appreciate everyone's support. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. I will be back tomorrow for AEW Conversation, myself and Righteous Reg Friday, SmackDown. I will also be here with Reg. Saturday, Collision. I will also be with Reg. So it'll be a lot of California connection this week. I just uploaded a brand new video. I did a tier ranking video. I ranked all of the Undertaker's WrestleMania streak matches. If you're into those types of videos, please check it out. Leave a comment so it can help the algorithm promote the video a little bit more. And if you guys like it, let me know if you want me to do some more of those, and I will definitely try to do those. I'm trying some new stuff out here on the channel to get some more action when I'm not doing interviews. So when I'm not doing interviews, I'm trying to come up with some other videos to do here on the channel. So thank you so much, everybody. I'll see you guys on the next one. Bye.